Well, good morning. It's good to be back with you today. I wasn't all that well last week, but I'm feeling a lot better today. And I trust as we continue in our series, Jesus is Lord, that we would be encouraged and strengthened by this wonderful message. I'm busy reminding us of this quote by Hudson Taylor I made a few years ago, and it said, "Jesus is either Lord of all or not at all." And we've been looking at this quote over the last few weeks, and hopefully by the time we get to the end of the series of messages, I'm going to ask us the question, so what? If we believe that he is Lord of all, what then? What are the implications? So let's have a word of prayer as we begin our time together. Lord, we thank you that you are Lord. And we give you all the praise for that. I just want to commit this message again to you. Lord, receive the glory. You're the one who is able to take the thoughts that you've put into my mind and use them to your honor and glory. I just want to commit that to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So in the first week, I asked the question, what will it take for us to realize that Jesus is Lord? And we look at Acts chapter 10, where Peter had the vision from heaven, and Cornelius was told to invite Peter to come along. And friends, it took a vision. It took Cornelius having to be introduced to Jesus. It took the coming of the Holy Spirit to make those group of people realize that Jesus was Lord. But what's going to take us to realize that Jesus is Lord? Then in the second week, I spoke about the five reasons why I preach that Jesus is Lord. And the simple reason that I preach Jesus is Lord is the Bible declares him to be so. The Bible speaks of his lordship prophetically. The Bible shows that his lordship overrides creation, the creation order, and the law. The Bible shows us that his lordship gives him the power to save. And friends, I preach Jesus as Lord because the day is coming. We're reminded in Philippians that one day everybody's going to call him Lord. You might as well do it now. In the third week, we're reminded that Jesus is Lord over the demons. I reminded us that demons are real. They have a leader. They understand spiritual truth. And friends, even demons obey Jesus. If the demons obey Jesus, then surely we should be obeying him. And then the fourth week, we looked at Jesus as the Lord over disease. And I reminded that disease is damaging. It damages us physically, emotionally, socially, spiritually, and financially. Then I reminded that disease is destroyed by Jesus, friends. The disease wasn't destroyed by the woman. The disease was destroyed by Jesus, but also reminded us that not every disease is destroyed. And there are reasons for that. But the most important thing we learned out of that, friends, is that Jesus has destroyed the worst disease of all, which is sin. So today, I want to look at an area of the Lordship of Christ, which is one of the most important to us. And this is it, friends. Jesus is Lord over death. Do you know that the number one reason why 99.9999% of the people who are no longer on earth is death? Friends, there are only two people ever recorded, Enoch and Elijah. We're told in the scriptures that they were taken into heaven while they were still alive and didn't experience a physical death. There's a joke that says there are only two things on earth that everybody has to face, and that is death and taxes. And one of them can be avoided because Enoch and Elijah avoided death. Of course, that's not necessarily true. Friends, it's a fact that we all know somebody who's died. It's a fact that everybody here will most likely face death at some point in our lives. Friend, we're going to face it. Did you know that every second, two people die? Friend, death is a subject you better think about at some point in time. You're going to have to face it at some point in time. I'll read out of Mark chapter 5 again. Mark chapter 5 verse 21 says this, when Jesus had crossed over by the boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him. While he was by the lake, then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. And then a little bit further on, we get in verse 35, after Jesus heals the woman with the issue of the blood, it says, while Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler, and said, "Your daughter is dead." They said, "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue leader, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw a commotion with the people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all the commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." And they laughed at him. After he put them out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went to where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talita kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and walked around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. They gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. Friends, as we consider the subject that Jesus is Lord over death, I want to remind you, first of all, death can come at any time. Friends, death has no age limit. One of the synagogue rulers we read, named Jairus, came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly, "My little daughter is dying." Friends, the Greek word translated as "little girl" is only used here in Scripture. It's a wonderful word of endearment. If we had to translate the word directly, it would be, the man would say, my daughterling. Friends, the sad reality is that this was his special little girl, and she was desperately ill. In recent weeks in King Williamstown, we've had a number of learners who've passed away. Last week, or the week before last, a young learner in grade 10 from Dale College, Melissa Colati, passed away. Then on Friday, we heard of a grade 7 learner from Tutu Primary, Onwaba Dianti, who had passed away. Friends, the reality is death can happen at any point in that. There's no age limit. There's no greater pain than losing a child. If a parent dies, you become an orphan. If a spouse dies, you become a widower or a widow. But when a child dies, all you become is empty. There's no word to describe the person who's lost the child. There's just emptiness. Friends, death has got no age limit. For those who may be young watching this message, Friend, you could possibly die. The second thing we'll learn in this passage, friends, is that death is not predictable. It says, while they were still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler, and said, "Your daughter is dead." Friends, this man was expecting Jesus to go and heal his child. But now it arrived. For a number of decades, the life expectancy of people was growing older and older. In the 1960s, there was a life expectancy of about 53. In the 1990s, it had grown to 65. I'm talking about worldwide now. There's some countries where it's 85. In Hong Kong, the average age is 85. In the 2020s, life expectancy was 73 worldwide. And bang, COVID arrived. And life expectancy worldwide, friends, dropped by 1.5 years. Just like that. In 2 years, people now can only expect to get to 71. In South Africa, the average life expectancy is 64, way below the 73 worldwide. But for women, it's 68, and for us men, it's only 61 and a quarter. No, men, most men are not going to get older than 61 and a quarter. Pretty scary, isn't it? Tell you about my own experience. My grandfather died when he was 47. My dad was only 13 when his father died. My father died when he was 56. My eldest brother when he was 46. My second eldest brother when he was 50. My mother passed away when she was 60. I'll be honest with you, for a long time in my life, I didn't think I was going to live beyond 60. I kind of thought, well, that's going to be the limit of my age. But friends, death's not predictable. We can't tell God when we're going to die. There's a saying that says, live every day as if it were your last. Mahatma Gandhi changed that saying a little bit. He said, live every day as if it were your last. Learn every day as if you will live forever. Muhammad Ali said, live every day as if it were your last, because someday you're going to be right. That's the truth of it, friends. Death is not predictable. You can't decide. You can't know when it's going to happen. You just got to know it's going to happen, because one day you're going to be right. You're not going to carry on living. The third thing we learn about death, friends, is that death is devastating. Verse 35 says, while Jesus was speaking, some men came from the house and said, your daughter is dead. They said, why bother the teacher anymore? Ignoring what they said, they went with Jesus. Don't be afraid, Jesus said, just believe. He did not let anyone follow him except James and Peter and John. And they came to the house of the synagogue ruler. Jesus saw the commotion. The people were crying and wailing loudly. He went into them. While the commotion and the wailing, the child is not dead but asleep. And they laughed at him. Friends, there are a few things we learn about what happens at death. First one is numbness. They say to Jairus, don't bother the teacher anymore. Jairus' friends had got numb. Then he was filled with fear, because the very first words Jesus says to him is, don't be afraid. Then grief overcomes them. says when they came to the house, Jesus saw the commotion because people were crying and wailing loudly. Then there's disbelief when Jesus said the child is not dead. They laughed at him. Laughter isn't an appropriate response at death, friends, because there's disbelief. Sometimes people act very strangely at a time of death. Friends, the message is this. Death can come at any time. Secondly, let me remind you, death is not the end. Death is often described as sleep in the Bible. It says, Jesus went in and said to them, while the commotion, the child is not dead, but asleep. Friends, the Bible often talks about death as if it were sleep. In Psalm 13, verse 3, it says, look on me and answer me, O God, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. Psalm 90, verse 5 says, you sweep men away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. When Jesus went to the side of Lazarus, it says after this, he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up. His disciples replied, Lord, if he's asleep, he'll get better. Jesus had been speaking about his death, and his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. Friends, when the Bible talks about sleep, it simply means that death looks a little bit like deeply resting. There's a false teaching in Christian circles or in religious circles called soul sleep. It's taught by the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Christadelphians and some Seventh-day Adventist churches and even some Catholic churches. They teach the concept of soul sleep. They teach that once you die, your soul enters a state of sleep, kind of a limbo, until the coming of Christ. And then they teach that believers go into some place called paradise and others go into a place called Hades. And they obviously have to use some scripture to back them up. But friends, the Bible never teaches that. The Bible doesn't teach that death is just like sleep, friends. It does teach us that death is not the end. What is death? Friends, death is an opportunity for Jesus to shine. Look what happens here. It says, after they put him out, he took the child's mother and father and mother and the disciples were with him and went into that where the child was. He took the child by the hand and said, Talita kum, which means, little girl, I said to you, get up. Immediately, the girl stood up and walked about. She was 12 years old and they were completely astonished. Friends, Jesus uses death to display his power, that he says, I am the resurrection and the life. In John chapter 11, when Jesus goes to the side of Lazarus, it says this in verse 40, Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always heard me, but I'm saying this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. Then he said this, Lazarus, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen, a cloth around his face. Jesus said to him, take off the great clothes and let him go. Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did put their faith in him. Friends, the point of these two stories is that not even death can hold back the power of God. So what's the message? Friends, the raising of the dead on earth was not the ultimate victory. It says this, immediately the girl got up and walked around. Jesus gave them strict orders and told them to give her something to eat. Why did she need to eat, friends? You see, both the girl and Lazarus would eventually die again. The resurrection on earth was simply an opportunity to give glory to Christ. But the ultimate victory would come. So what do we learn, friends? Death can come at any time, but death is not the end. We see a glimpse of that in the girl and in Lazarus. But friends, death is not the end, because the third message of this is Jesus came to destroy death. It says, immediately the girl stood up and walked around. Friends, the message of the story is simply, Jesus has the power to overcome death. Why did Jesus need to teach this message? You see, many of the Jews had a very confusing understanding of what happened after death. There were two schools of thought amongst Jewish people. The Pharisees taught that there was life after death, but the Sadducees taught that there was no life after death, that when you died, you just died. There was nothing after that. And I remember a thing from Sunday school, the way you can remember which is which was we call the one sad, you see, because they didn't believe in life after death. And we call the other one far, you see, because they can see beyond the grave. The sad, you see, they didn't believe in life. But the far, you see, they believed in life after death. You see, friends, even the disciples of Jesus were confused about Christ's power over to death. On two occasions in Mark, friends, Jesus reminds his disciples that he was about to die, and the disciples don't take it lightly. In Mark chapter 8, it says, then he began to teach that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and again after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But Jesus turned and looked at his disciples and rebuked Jesus, get behind me, Satan. You do not have the mind of the things of God, but the things of men. A little bit later on in Mark chapter 10, it says they were on their way to Jerusalem with Jesus leading the way. The disciples were astonished and those who followed him were afraid. Again, he took the disciples aside and told him what was going to happen. We're going to Jerusalem, he said, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the high chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him and kill him, and 3 days later he will rise. Friends, the disciples heard Jesus teaching that, but they weren't sure. They didn't believe it. Until this thing happened, friend. In Mark chapter 16, we read, when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices, so they may go and anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first of the week, after the sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked him, who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? And they looked up, and they saw the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw young men dressed in white robes. Don't be afraid, he said. If you're looking for Jesus who was crucified, he has risen. He's not here. See the place where you laid him. Go and tell the disciples. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he had told you. Trembling and bewildered, the woman went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing because they were afraid. Friend, one of the most significant reasons why we can believe that the story of the resurrection is true is that the record of the first people to discover the resurrected Christ were women. No self-respecting writer of religious material, who were normally men, would ever have given credit to such an important part of the story to a woman. Friends, Jesus is Lord over death. Friends, death can come at any time, but death is not the end, because Jesus, friend, has destroyed death. So what about us? What happens when we die? I told you, you need to think about this subject. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27 says this: just as man is destined to die once, and after that to face judgment. Friend, when you die, you're going to face judgment. That's what the Bible is very clear about. You will face God at the moment you die. What's going to happen then? Well, Luke chapter 16 tells us. It says, the time came when the beggar died and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried in hell. He was in torment. He looked up and saw Abraham far away, with Lazarus by his side. Friends, you go either to heaven or hell immediately. After you faced your judgment when you die, there's no second chance, friends. This is the moment. When you die, you face the judgment, and like the beggar in the story in Luke chapter 16, you either go to heaven like he did, or you go to hell like the rich man did. You have a choice, friends. When Jesus was on the cross, one of the thieves next to him said, Jesus, remember me when you get to your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. You'll be with me in heaven. Friends, what happens when you die? You can go to heaven or hell, friends, but you don't need to. You can choose Christ and be with him in paradise the moment you die. In fact, that thing is taught for us again in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 through 10. It says this: therefore, we are always confident, and we know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please him, whether we're at home in this body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Friend, Jesus has destroyed death. You don't need to face death and hell. You can avoid it. There was a thief on a cross who simply said to Jesus, "Remember me." He did nothing else, friends. There was the Apostle Paul, who lived a life, friends, who tells us here, we make it our goal to please him. Friends, every day, we are to live as if today were our last, because one day it will be our last. Jesus, friends, is Lord over death. You need fear nothing if you put your trust in him. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the confidence we have that there is no fear in death for those who trust in you. We look forward to the day when we will be with you, like the Apostle Paul wrote, Lord, absent from the body, present with the Lord. What a joy that'll be. We look forward to being with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, today is the day of salvation. You never know when it's going to happen, friends. Today is the day you need to make a choice. Amen.